That song are so true. It wasn't just something that was a fictitious story that was made up, that somebody just said, well, I'll make this story up and make that story up and write all these different things. But eyes saw and ears heard all these things that were recorded to be a blessing and an encouragement for us. There were people standing by when Lazarus came out of the tomb. There were people standing by when Moses parted the Red Sea and when the children walked over on dry land. That wasn't just a story that was told, but there were people there that saw it with their eyes, heard it with their ears, heard Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. People might have looked around and said, oh my, this guy's crazy. But then they saw it with their eyes. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, into the book of Isaiah. I've got kind of a different topic that I want to speak on tonight, kind of a different title. They've got these, all these self-help books today, you know, 10 ways to cure this, and 20 ways to be a healthier this, and 5 ways to not have to worry about this, all these different self-help books and things. But tonight, with the help of the Lord, we want to look at 10 things we should find when we go to church. 10 things we should find when we go to church. Isaiah chapter 6, and I want to start with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Notice where he's at. Isaiah's in church. He's in the temple. Isaiah believed in going to church. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you to help us as we look into your word tonight. Just lead us and guide us, whatever path you would have us to go down, Father. May it not just be words that fall empty, Lord, on the ground, but, Father, may it be something that would be an encouragement to someone. May it stir our hearts, Lord, to recognize what we should expect when we come into your house, Father. Lord, what we should expect when we come into your presence. Lord, if it's really you, then something is bound to happen. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us tonight, Lord. We've already seen some of these things that we're going to talk about tonight manifested in our midst, Lord. And we're looking to see you manifest the rest of them tonight as well, Father, because we should be able to come to church expecting these things every time we walk through the doors, Father. Just be with us tonight and help us, Father. We're waiting on you and expecting you, Lord, to do this exceedingly abundantly in our midst. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. 10 things that we should find when we go to church. If you don't find them, then you should look and see if you're at the right church. And if you feel like you're at the right church and those things should be going on, then you should look and see what's in your own life that's preventing those things from happening. Brother Branham says in The Unchangeable God, he says in 1960, he says Isaiah had been educated and at school with the king and so forth. He had the best that could be given mentally, I suppose, in his intellectuals. But God had to make a prophet out of him by revealing himself to him, by giving him something tangible that he could see. It was no more so much in literature and reading and writing, but the things that he had read about, the things that he had read about God and heard about God become manifested right before him. I love the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. I love to hear the message. I love to hear a good sermon. I love to hear good singing. I love to hear all those things. But you know what I love more than that? Is to see what we're talking about be manifested. I love to read Acts 2 and 38, how that if we'll repent and be baptized, that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love that scripture, but there's one thing I love more than that scripture, and that's to see the manifestation of that scripture. I love the Word, but to see the Word made manifest, the Word in itself is dead letter, but when the Spirit comes and quickens that Word to somebody's life, I love to read the scriptures about healing, But I love more to see somebody be healed and to see it's not just something that's written in word form, but it's something that's alive. It's something that's quickening. It's something that's a reality. We can go out and we can write all kinds of things. I could get up here and say all kinds of things. I could claim to be all kinds of things and claim to be able to do all kinds of things. And that might be well and good, but as long as I'm just talking, it's just words. But when it becomes to being put into manifestation, then we recognize that there's something present in our midst. When Brother Branham would step out there and he would say, "I take every spirit under my control," any man can say that. Any man that's able to speak audibly and be able to speak English and put those words together can come and say, "I take every spirit under my control." But without the Holy Spirit there to back it up, you better be careful what you're doing. You better know where you're standing. That's the difference between many that run out and just throw that phrase out there loosely. And with the prophet of God is that he knew where he was standing. And he didn't just say it many times. Remember, he would wait. And he would say, "You realize I'm stalling." I'm sure he said, "I'm waiting on something." And then he would say, "He's here." And then he would say, "I take every spirit under my control." You never hear him come out and say, "Good evening, friends. I take every spirit under my control." You'll never hear it on any tape. But when he recognized who was standing beside him, when he recognized that angel of the Lord was there to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, he didn't have to worry. He didn't have to worry about, "Well, should I say it, or is it okay for me to say it?" He knew where he was standing. That's where we should be on the word. Maybe not to take spirits under our control and do these type of things, but when we recognize that something is for us specifically, when we recognize that salvation is for us specifically, it shouldn't be just something that's on a printed page anymore, but we should be able to read our name in there and take it as our possession and walk forward with it. That's when the word becomes a reality. That's when the word becomes personal to you. It's wonderful to read it. Brother Bram said a Christian reads his Bible and prays every day, and I believe a message believer will add a little bit of the message in there too. Listen to some of the prophet and read some of the prophet's words too. I believe if we really claim to be following it, we'll love it. We'll want to hear it. We'll want it to be present in our home. We'll want to hear that voice in our home. I like what Brother Ron Spencer said. He said, "Don't ever let that prophet's voice become a stranger in your home." I can say amen to that. Don't never let that prophet's voice become common in your home. Don't let it become a stranger in your home. But my, we should recognize these things that if it's just words to you, if it's just, "Well, that's a good story," or "That's a good tape," or "That's all these different things," that's wonderful. But we have to recognize, just like we sang tonight, eyes have seen and ears have heard. These aren't just stories that some man made up, but these are things that are a reality. And they're not just something that was a reality in the days of Jonah or in the days of Moses or even in the days of Brother Branham, but we should be able to recognize the Lord working tangibly in our midst, meeting our needs, coming and answering prayers. If not, then all we have is a bunch of words on the page. But I want to see those words that are on the page become life. I want to see him become personal to me and you. When Brother Branham begins to talk about all these different things for the bride, it's wonderful. I love to sit there and read those quotes. I love to sit there and highlight those quotes, but I don't want to just highlight them with a marker. I want them to be highlighted in my life. I want them to be something that stands out to me in my life. Remember when Brother Branham said he saw that cloud and he said, "You notice the one angel there with his wings back?" He said that one, there was something personable about him to me. I wonder why. That seventh angel, there was something personal about it to him. That's how we should be about the word. When you read a quote about the bride, you shouldn't just say, "Oh, that's wonderful that God's going to do that for the bride." No, you read yourself in and say, "That's wonderful that God's doing that for me." That God's doing that for me. When you hear him say, "The bride, she'll be the final voice to the final age," say, "I'm identified with it." When you hear the Bible say, "There's going to be a group of people that's made ourselves ready," say, "I'm identified with it." That's me right there. That's not for some other age. That's not for somebody else. That's for me. Then the word becomes life. Then the word can be quickened. But as long as it's just letter and we read it, that's wonderful. But it has to be something personal to you. You have to read yourself into it. We can read, by His stripes we are healed. But no, I want it to say, by His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I am healed. I want to read myself in personally. The bride of Jesus Christ has that right tonight. She should be able to take these things, not for somebody else or not for some other age, but it should be our possession tonight. The word is my inheritance. Amen. He said by giving him something tangible that he could see, it was no more so much in literature and reading and writing, but the things that he had read about God and heard about God become manifested right before him. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not trying to discourage you from reading and from listening to the tapes and from reading the Bible. I'm not. That's the exact opposite of what I'm saying. I'm just saying don't let it stop there and just be enough to read it. But it has to be something that becomes tangible to you, that the word is tangible in your life, that when you read something, you don't just take it for granted and say, well, that's a nice scripture, but that it becomes something that's tangible to you, that you recognize God didn't just promise that for Brother So-and-so. No, he didn't just promise it for Brother Neville, or he didn't just promise it for Brother Peter back in the days of the apostles. He didn't just promise it for John Wesley or Martin Luther. But if there's a promise in the book, as the song says, every promise in the book is mine. Brother Branham says in Influence in 1964, he says, now if a prophet called, vindicated to be a prophet of God in the presence of God, seeing his littleness, was ready to confess that he was a sinner, what ought it to do to you and I? He said, what ought you and I to do? If this vindicated prophet came into the presence of God and his reaction was to recognize that he was an unclean man of unclean lips and that he dwelt among unclean people, what type of an effect should it have on us? Amen. Let's go through these 10 things that we should find when we come into church. Isaiah chapter 6, where we just read, let's look at verse 1. Isaiah found all 10 of these things when he went to church. So if God can do it for Isaiah, I believe God can do it for me. I believe God can do it for you. The first thing in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You notice the very first thing that he recognized when he came into the house of the Lord was the presence of the Lord. He recognized when he walked into the temple that it wasn't just a house that was built with hands. It wasn't just a nice place that had gold on the walls and that had nice wood furnishings and that had all the vessels of the Lord that Moses had instructed him to make. It wasn't just something of beauty or something of man-made hands, but there was something there when he walked in the room that he didn't just recognize when he went into a restaurant or when he went into his job or different places. Maybe when he walked in off of the street, he could immediately recognize the presence of the Lord. That's how church should be. That's how church should be. I've had people come up to me after church from out of town, or even some of our people that's here frequently, and say, my, when I came into the building tonight, I hadn't even got into the congregation, just walk in the front door and could feel the presence of the Lord already. That's how it should be. That's how church should be. That's why, I'll be honest with you, some of you parents, that's why I have Sunday school at 10:30 and don't start our regular class till 11 o'clock for the adults, is because I want you to be here half an hour early praying and reading your Bible and getting in an atmosphere for church, getting in an atmosphere for worship, getting in an atmosphere to receive something from the Lord. Brother Branham said in church order we should do it. So if I can work things around and encourage you to do it, I'll try to do it. Amen. I've been coming for 2 years, and I've been 30 minutes early almost every service, Brother Layton. Haven't missed a service so far. Amen. That doesn't make me anything. Just good attendance won't make it. It's got to be a life that's lived. But if you really love him, you'll want to be there when the doors are open. Amen. He recognized the presence of the Lord. It wasn't something maybe that he saw so much visibly, but he recognized a presence. He recognized an atmosphere. Brother Branham said that we're amateur creators. He said you create an atmosphere around you wherever you go. And you can go and you can create a negative atmosphere, and you can always be talking bad about somebody, and you can always be running somebody down, and you'll create that atmosphere around you. You can go and you can have fear, and you can have doubt, and you can have worry, and you'll create that atmosphere around you. Or you can go and you can say, by God's grace, I don't know what today holds, but I know who holds today, and I'm going to step out. I'm going to be happy. I may not feel good. I may not, you know, be on the mountaintop, but I'm going to praise him in the valley. I'm going to praise him in the dark times. I'm going to praise him in the trials. And you'll begin to create that atmosphere around you, and then somebody else, when they come into that atmosphere, they'll recognize, my, I know that brother or sister is going through a lot of trials right now. I know they're going through things in their home. I know they're going through things in their family. I know they're going through things with their finances. But it seems like they're always on the mountaintop. You may not be on the mountaintop. You may not feel excited. You may not feel good. You may not feel happy. But if you can just put your confidence in him, then you'll create that atmosphere around you. Amen. That's the type of atmosphere that I want to create. That's the kind of atmosphere I want to be in. And I want people, when they come into this church, I want it to be something that they recognize the presence of the Lord in our midst. Amen. If they don't, then there's either something wrong with the church or there's something wrong with them personally. We should always be able to recognize his presence when we come to church. If we don't, let me say it again, if we don't recognize his presence, every time we walk through those doors, there's either something wrong with the church or there's something wrong with us personally. So if you're not feeling his presence, then maybe you should find another church, or maybe you should take a look in the mirror and see what's wrong with this guy right here. It seems like everybody else feels his presence. Seems like everybody else is worshiping and praising. Maybe it's me. Many times we want to look at everybody else. Oh, it's brother so-and-so. It's sister so-and-so. They're the reason why the Lord can't move in the church. Oh, maybe you should turn the mirror around the other way for a little bit. But he recognized the presence of the Lord. The second thing he recognized when he came into church, verse 2, he says, above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. Now these are angels. These aren't just an angel that's, like Brother Bram talks about, a messenger or a servant. These are the cherubims and the seraphims. These are the holiest angels. They stood right in the presence of God. They were permitted to stay right there in his presence night and day. They were created for nothing else but just to worship him. And just a day and night, cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they fell on their face and worshiped him. And not only that, they had never sinned. They had never thought an evil thought. They had never told a lie. They had never watched a filthy movie. They had never broken a speed law or a law of the Bible. They had never done anything that could condemn them in our eyes. But yet, when they're so close in the presence of God, they have to cover their face with their wings, and they have to cover their feet with their wings, because in that presence, even those holy angels that had never done anything wrong looked filthy in his presence. They had to cover their face and they had to cover his feet because he was so holy. So Isaiah recognized true humility. He comes into church. And he didn't look around and say, there's that guy. He thinks he's a big shot because he does all these different things. He supported this and he supported that. There's that guy. He thinks he's somebody because the pastor asked him to do this or that, or he was friends with Brother Branham or Brother Branham's family. And he didn't look around at all the big shots. He didn't look around at all the people with the stuffed shirts and the ones that thought they were somebody. But what he recognized when he came into church was these angels that were holy. They were standing there with two wings over their face and two wings over their feet, and he recognized true humility. He recognized that it doesn't matter how holy they are. It doesn't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter how many works that they've done in the presence of God. They had to recognize humility. They had to come in a humble way of covering themselves. How much more should we be? We think we're somebody. Oh, I'm friends with the pastor. I'm friends with that one. I'm friends with this one. I've supported this work. I've did this. I've did that. We get all these I's. We should come like the angels did, humbly. Lord, I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence, but I'm just thankful to be here. Humility. He recognized true humility. Verse 3, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, I don't think they were over there in the corner saying, holy. Afraid that they were going to offend somebody by being excited or being loud or being emotional. I think they were way past that. They'd been in his presence. Can you imagine? We get in his presence, Brother Norman, for 5 or 10 minutes here sometimes, that extreme presence of the Lord when he drops down in our midst, and sometimes we don't know how to even handle it physically. We don't know whether to weep or fall down or run or shout or speak in tongues or scream or what. We just physically can't even hardly express it. And they had been standing in that presence, not for 5 or 10 minutes. Not for 15 minutes. Some people don't understand. When you preach and it's really anointing, sometimes I go home and I just sit in the chair and I don't want anybody to touch me or look at me. I just want to sit there because I'm so drained. My wife, a few services ago or a few months ago, the presence of the Lord dropped into the building like that, and it was so strong for such a long time. She said at the end of service, she said, I know what you're talking about now. She had stayed in that presence so long that it just drained her physically. And these angels, they hadn't been in his presence for 5 or 10 minutes. They hadn't preached an anointed sermon for about 30 or 40 minutes. They had been in his presence since the day that he had created them, thousands or maybe millions of years. They'd been standing there. Can you imagine being in that presence for that long? Can you imagine what it must have done to them? They didn't care what their neighbor thought. They didn't care what the angels on the other side of heaven thought. They said, holy, holy, holy. They were excited about it. They were thankful to be in his presence. And Isaiah experienced true worship. He experienced true worship. He experienced beings that had been created for nothing else than to worship God. And they had been doing it for thousands of years. If anybody knew how to worship, they did. I'm sure they were dancing and shouting and crying and bowing down. And my, they just didn't even know what to do. They'd been in that presence so long, all they could do was just worship. Oh, I wish we could get to that spot. Lord, I don't know. I don't know where the next bill, where the next paycheck's coming from. I don't know where this is coming from and that's coming from. But holy, Lord, all I know is you're holy. All I know is I worship you. I adore you. I love you, Lord. I know that you've got it under control. Isaiah experienced true worship when he went to church. He didn't recognize a bunch of people sitting in the corner thinking, my, you know, I feel like I should shout, but what would Sister Susie say? Or I feel like I should do this. The Lord seems like he's been leading me to this, but my, what would my neighbor think? And my, you know, some of the women that come in, you know, that claim to be around the message and still paint all over their face. My, if I get to crying too much, it'll smear my makeup and it'll make me just look a mess. I bet those angels looked like quite a bit of a mess, but they didn't care. They didn't care. They weren't looking for a Kleenex box. They weren't looking for a paper towel to wipe the makeup off their face. They had been in that presence so long. All they cared about was, Lord, just never let me leave this presence. Lord, I know I've been here for thousands of years, but don't ever let me leave this. I can never be satisfied with anything once I've come into that presence. Oh, my. He recognized true worship. Amen. You feel like going to church tonight? Amen. He was in church. He didn't come just to see his neighbor. He didn't come just to show off what clothes that he had bought down at Sears or JCPenney or Dillard's or wherever he went shopping. He didn't come just to show off his new vehicle or just to catch up on the gossip or to see what Brother So-and-so was doing or just to be in a service so that he could say he went to church somewhere. He came to experience God. And he recognized his presence. He recognized the humility of the angels. He recognized that true presence of worship. And that was just number three. He was experiencing what a church service should be. He was experiencing what all of us should experience every time we come through these doors. Oh, I'm tired tonight. I don't feel good tonight, but I came to worship anyhow. My throat's sore tonight, if you can't tell. My throat's been sore all day and all last night. But I said, Satan, I don't care. God gave me this. I'm going to get it out if I have to squeak it out. Amen. Verse 3, let's finish that up. They cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. It must not have been just a whisper. He got so excited that the posts of the door began to move, and the house was filled with smoke. This wasn't the only time this happened. Remember, when they dedicated the temple, the house was filled with smoke to where even the priests couldn't read the scripture. The presence of the Lord was there so strong. There's people sitting here tonight that have seen it. There's people here tonight, I believe, that have seen it in this church, if I'm not mistaken. I saw it one time. I was praying in my parents' basement. I was just a young boy, about, 21 years old or 22 years old. And I was working at a job, and it was when I was going through a lot in my life, and God was trying to lead me one direction, and I was trying to run the other direction. And I was just really trying to make progress in the Lord. And I got a job to where I was working second shift there. And about 5 o'clock or so, everybody else would leave. And I'd have about 6 hours there by myself just to, if there wasn't any calls coming in, I could listen to tapes or I could pray or I could do whatever I wanted to do just as long as I was there available to take a call if it came in. And I would get into that presence and worship. And I had a couple friends, a movie had come out in the movie theater. And they wanted me to go watch the movie with them. And one of them called me up and he said, why don't you come? We've been wanting to go see that movie. Why don't you come with me and we'll go down there and watch it tonight? And I said, no, I promised the Lord that I'm going to get along with him tonight after I get off work. And I'm just going to pray for a while. And he said, all right, I understand that. And so a little bit later, another brother called me up. He said, we were going to get some people and go to the movie and watch this movie. It wasn't something that was filthy or anything like that. But he said, we're going to go down there and watch it. And that's when I still used to go to the movie theater. And he said, why don't you come on down? I said, no, sir. I promised the Lord I was going to get alone with him tonight and just spend some time with him in prayer. And so I went home to my parents' house and I got down there in the basement and began to cry and to pray and to seek God. And sometimes we get down and we pray, now lay me down to sleep, and we're asleep before we get done praying. And then there's other times when we really pray and we press into that presence and you just feel like everything just falls apart. All your bitterness, the walls just come down, all your desperation, all your fear, all your troubles, that all the walls just fall all apart and come down, and it's just you and God. And it was one of those nights like that to where his presence just swept into the basement there, and I was down at one end of the basement like this, and I turned and looked, and I couldn't see the other end of the basement, Brother Layton. It looked like if you had had about 500 people in there smoking cigarettes in that little basement. It was just so smoky, I couldn't see, but just a little ways through the basement there, I thought, my, what is this? And then you begin to think, my, is this scriptural? Is it Satan? Is it, what is it? And I begin to look, and I found these scriptures where the presence of the Lord, when he came, the smoke filled the temple to where even the priests in dedicating the temple couldn't read the scriptures because his presence was so strong. Oh my, Isaiah recognized, he experienced something supernatural. He experienced something supernatural. It wasn't just enough for him to come to church and say, my, that was a good sermon. I really enjoyed that quote that Brother Nathan read. Really enjoyed that tape that the brother had laid on his heart to play. Really enjoyed that song Sister So-and-so sang. But he wasn't just that. All those things are wonderful. But that wasn't enough for Isaiah. He recognized something supernatural in the service. We've seen the sick healed instantly. We've seen the sick healed gradually. We've seen God change situations around, job situations, financial situations, marriage situations. My God's a great big God. I don't put him in a box and say, well, I believe he can do this, but this over here, it's just too much for him. No, that may be the kind of God you're serving tonight, but my God can do anything but fail. Amen. When I come to church, I don't just come to church to get up and sing some songs and preach, but I'm looking for God to do the supernatural in our midst. He may not do it the same way every time. We may not see smoke. We may not speak in tongues. Somebody may not be raised from the dead, but they might. They might. Amen. I'm ready for it if He wants to. We've seen it happen. Amen. We've seen it happen. We've seen the sick healed. We've seen lives change. We've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't just come up here. I love reading you quotes, and I love preaching you a good anointed sermon, and I love singing the songs of Zion. But if that's all we do, then our efforts have been in vain. We came for these things. That's why we come to church. We come to church for His presence. We come in humility. We come to worship. We come to experience something supernatural in our midst. It's not enough for a man to get up here and speak. It's not enough for a man to press play on the tape recorder. But when those words begin to come off of that tape recorder and you begin to receive them down into your soul, not just up here, that's not enough. You can hear Brother Branham speak day and night as long as you want to. You can play it on repeat through your house, through your car, through your work, and as long as you just hear it here, it'll never do you a bit of good. But when those words, when that voice behind the voice begins to drop down into that inner man, into that soul, and it begins to quicken you, and you begin to recognize that's more than a man speaking. That's not just a hillbilly from Kentucky. That's the voice of God speaking to me. Not speaking to Brother Joel, not speaking to Brother Yarbrough. That's wonderful, but it's got to speak to me if I want something to happen in my life. It's got to be something that's so real to me to where all the demons in hell can't convince me otherwise. It's got to be so real to me that even if the doctor says there's not a chance, I don't care. I've already received a seed germ down in my soul. All the demons, all the doctors, all the criticizers, all the people walking away from it, they'll never be able to convince me otherwise. Because I don't just receive it here, I want to receive it down here. I want to receive it down here in my soul. And then it's not just words on a tape. It's not just words in a man's lip. It's not just songs being played. But then it's something that you're recognizing that your soul is feeding on. Brother Branham said when you recognize that the words you heard was eagle's food, he said you heard from your theophany. You heard from your theophany. You couldn't recognize that this was eagle's food unless you had a theophany out there somewhere to receive it. Oh, glory. That ought to make us excited tonight. That ought to make us happy tonight. You say, oh, I'm down, Brother Nathan. I'm depressed. What have you got to be discouraged about? If you recognize what this word really is, you've got a theophany body waiting for you in another dimension. I don't care if they stone you. I don't care if they burn you. I don't care if they drag you through the streets and burn your body and throw it into the seas. I've got another one waiting for me. I've got another way for me. I may be poor and destitute and tossed about and talked about and turned away from, but I don't care. I've got another one waiting for me. They can do whatever they want to this one, but they'll never be able to take that one. Remember, Brother Branham, he said, Sister Hope came in there. She said, honey, you want to go fishing? You want to do this? You want to do that? He said, what's wrong, honey? He knew something was wrong. She said, they came and took your chair. But when he stepped into that other dimension, she said, you've got one waiting here that they'll never be able to take. You've got one waiting here that they'll never be able to take. They may be able to take this body. Satan may be able to put it through sickness, through trials, through persecution, through everything, through the valley of the shadow of death. But I've got another one waiting for me that he'll never be able to take. Oh, glory. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Then said I, woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. He didn't come to church and just hear the word and say, oh, I bet he really got Brother so-and-so tonight. I really bet he stepped on Sister so-and-so's toes tonight. But he was convicted of his own sins. He recognized that there was things in the Word that no matter how hard he tried and how hard he was trying to do in his own self-righteousness, there was things that even these angels who were sinless couldn't stand holy in his presence. And he recognized in that presence that he was a man of unclean lips. Not only that, not only did he recognize his own sins, but he was also, it made him concerned about the sins of his fellow man. It's not just enough to come in and say, well, bless God, I've been saved, I've been sealed, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, if you had, it'll give you a concern for your fellow man too. It's wonderful to come to church and God convict you of your sins. Say, oh my, the preacher just stepped all over my toes, but it did me good. The tape, it just stepped all over my toes, but it's what I needed. Amen. Come with that type of attitude. Don't come with the attitude of, well, bless God, if he ever preaches that way to me again, I'll never come back. If he ever plays that tape again, I'll never darken those doors. That just shows what seed you are. But he, even this great vindicated prophet, as Brother Branham called him, a vindicated prophet, but yet when he got into the presence of God, he recognized that he was a sinner. He recognized that there were things in his own life. He was convicted of his own sins, and then it made him recognize and make him concerned about the sins of his fellow man, to be concerned about somebody else. Oh my, there's people out there that haven't come into this presence like Isaiah had. There was friends and family and neighbors and co-workers and school members of Isaiah's that had never come into that presence like he had. And he recognized how low and degraded he was. He recognized how without the shedding of innocent blood that he could never stand in that presence. But there was others outside the walls, outside of that presence, outside of that worship, outside of that humility that he became concerned for too. I've got neighbors of unclean lips. I've got family members of unclean lips. I've got co-workers of unclean lips. I've got all these different things. It put a burden on his heart for somebody else. You say you've got the Holy Ghost and not concerned about anybody else but yourself, I say you're a liar. It'll give you a concern for the sins of your fellow man. It'll make you want to pray for them. Remember when the angel went out through the city, it said, mark those that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city. Most of us don't even sigh and cry for the abominations done in the church or done in our own home, let alone the city. Concern about the sins of his fellow man. Oh my. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, verse 6, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. He was reminded of God's grace. He was reminded of God's grace. Yes, Isaiah, you're a sinner. You'll never be worthy. There's nothing you could ever do to be self-righteous enough. But you don't have to worry. I've got some tongs over here on the altar. I've got some Holy Ghost and fire. Let it pass through your lips. Let it pass through your mind. Let it pass through you there. It may seem like that you're going through a lot. It may seem like you're discouraged. But I've got some tongs with Holy Ghost and fire that I'll pass through. I'll pass through and cleanse you. I'll pass through. Why? Because of something good that Isaiah did? Because of how holy he was? Because of how righteous he was? Because of God's grace. He recognized it's God's grace. It's God's grace. Oh my, this is the one that should be striking to us as message believers. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord. He heard the voice of God speaking to him. It wasn't just something that, you know, he heard something and didn't pay any attention to it, or he heard something and thought, my, that's nice. But he recognized that it was God's voice speaking to him personally. He recognized that it was God's voice. I like what Brother Ron Spencer, to quote him again, he told his sons, he said, what tape did you listen to? And they told him what tape they listened to that day. And he said, what did that prophet say to you personally? What did he say to you personally? It's wonderful to listen to the tapes. It's wonderful to read our Bible. But if we don't catch what that's saying to us personally, what good is it doing us? It should speak to our hearts. It should speak to our situation. If I'm going to listen to a tape, I'm not just going to put it on in the tape recorder or the MP3 player or my iPad or my iPod or whatever. I'm not just going to put it on there just so I can mark a checkbox on the board and say, well, listen to a tape today. I'm all right. Praise God, I listened to one. Did you listen to one? I got my check mark on the calendar. It's not doing me any good. But when I recognize that that voice is speaking something personal to me, something to help me through whatever I'm going through that day. Something to help me whatever I'm going through, whatever trial. When I can recognize the voice of God speaking to me, whether it's on the tape, whether it's through the pastor, whether it's through the singing, whether it's through one of the saints calling me up on the phone to encourage me, when I can recognize God's voice speaking to me personally, then things can begin to change. Then encouragement can come. Then strength can come. Then healing can come. Deliverance can come. But you have to recognize the voice of God speaking to you. It's not just enough for me if he speaks to Brother Levi. That's wonderful for Brother Levi. But what about me? I want him to speak to me. He may never speak to me in an audible voice like we think, but I've got about 1,177 tapes of an audible voice speaking to me. You want to hear the voice of God? I said it when I was a young minister, about 17 years old, in my uncle's church, and he quotes me all the time on it. I said, if you want to hear the audible voice of God today, all you have to do is press play. Just reach over and press play. That's God's voice to you today. That's not you. If you listen to those tapes and you read those books and all you hear is the voice of a man, you miss something. You miss something. That's not just the words of a man. No man can reveal those things. When the seven seals were revealed, that wasn't just Brother Branham standing there revealing that. Remember, there was none worthy that could loose the seals except the Lamb. The Lamb was opening them and revealing them to him, and he was giving them to us, and it was God's voice to us. Just as Wesley was God's voice for that day, just as Luther was God's voice for that day, just as the Apostle Paul's voice was God's voice for that day, we had a voice in our day that said, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. Oh my, he recognized God's voice saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? He recognized a need. There was a need that needed to be fulfilled. And he didn't just say, well, maybe I can get Brother Norman to go do it. The voice of God spoke to me in the service today through the tape or through the ministry. Maybe Brother Joel can go do what the voice of God is saying to do. Maybe I can get Brother Yarborough or Brother Joshua. Maybe they'll go do it. Or Brother Anthony. Maybe I can recruit them and they'll go do this for me. No, he said, then said I, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. There was a need. The voice of God had spoke. Isaiah recognized the need, and then he was inspired to serve. He was inspired to serve, to say, Lord, it's not just enough for my neighbor to go. It's not just enough for this one to go. I don't know if they'll do it. They say they're going to do it, but I don't know what they're going to do. But Lord, send me. I'll get the job done. I'll do my best. I'll do what I can for you. Lord, send me. And inspired him to serve. There's a book written by a man named Ronald Gray, and I've never read the book, so I wouldn't encourage you to read it because I don't know what's in it, but I like the title of it, and he took it from a phrase that used to be used on bulletin boards years ago. It says, enter to worship and exit to serve. We might have to have that put up on the doors, Brother Layton. Worship on the entrance and serve on the exit. Enter to worship and exit to serve. When you come into church, don't come to criticize your neighbor or to criticize the pastor or the deacons or this one or that one. Don't come with a critical attitude. Come into his presence to worship. But then when you go out to serve. Go out to be a blessing to somebody. Go out to be a help to somebody. Enter to worship, but exit to serve. Amen? So there's all 10 of them. He recognized the presence of the Lord. He recognized true humility. He experienced true worship. He experienced something supernatural. He was convicted of his own sins. He was concerned about the sins of his fellow man. He was reminded of God's grace. He heard the voice of God. He recognized there was a need, and he was inspired to serve. Now, is that too difficult for God to do every service for us? Should we come and say, Lord, you can probably only give me three this service, so I'm just going to pick which three I think I need this service. Or, I don't know. I want to come and feel the presence of the Lord and hear his voice. But that serve and worship and humility stuff, I don't know about all that. Other people being concerned about them, I don't know if I can do that. No, when we come to church, we should expect to find all those things. And you have to recognize that there's only so many of those things that we can have provided for you here. Most of these things you have to bring yourself. Brother Branham said, the pastor doesn't bring revival in his briefcase. He said it comes in humble hearts. If you want to see a revival, bring the revival with you when you come in the doors. If you want to see a revival, you be the revival. You inspire somebody else. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Let's turn to it and we'll read it quickly here. I won't read the whole thing to save time, but I'll just summarize here. Jesus had been wanting to speak to the people, and there was a multitude gathered, and he was being pressed by the people to hear the word. And he looks out and he sees two ships on the lake. And as he looks out on the lake and he sees these two ships, he cries out to Peter and asks him, could he enter his boat? There were other houses. There were other cities. There were other families. There were other nations. When God called you and said, I want you to be a part of this bride. I want to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I want you to recognize this message. There were other boats. There were other vehicles. There were other houses. There were other families. But God chose you. What that ought to do to us, to recognize the grace of God, that He chose me. He chose you. We didn't do anything to be worthy of it, but yet in all that, He chose us, just like He chose Peter. Peter was just out there. He was just fishing just like the other boat. But Jesus said, Peter, can I step into your boat? Many of us were out in sin just like the rest of the world. But He said, Brother Nathan, Brother Stephen, Brother Norman, Brother Anthony, whoever it is, I'm going to step into your life. I'm going to step into your home. I'm going to step into your family. What a blessed people we are for Him to step into our boat. So He goes into Peter's boat and He ends speaking and He tells Simon, He says, launch out into the deep. Verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in another ship. Oh my, do you see what's going on here? They heard the voice of God. They recognized something supernatural. And now they're telling their friends about it. They're telling their friends about it. They beckoned to their partners, which were in the ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled up both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized whose presence he had come into. And he recognized that he had to come the way of humility. He couldn't say, look what a great fisherman I am, fellas. He fell down on his knees and said, I'm a sinner, Lord. Just leave my presence. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken in. They'd recognized something supernatural in their midst. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, that were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Thou shalt catch men. He recognized the need, and he put him into service. And when they had brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It was wonderful that Jesus said all these things, but he had something he had to do too. God came and spoke to him, called to him, and put him into service. Amen. He didn't just tell him, Peter, I've come here and I've done these things, and now I want you to go and sit at home and criticize all the other believers. I want you to sit at home and never tell anybody about this. Never be concerned about anybody else. You and your wife and your mother-in-law, you're good. You're saved. You've recognized it. You go home and you've got a stamp of approval from here to eternity. No, he didn't do that. He sent him in service. He gave him a concern for somebody else, a burden on his heart for somebody else. Hear his voice, 1958. Brother Bram says he got down in the temple and he realized then he raised his hands and said, oh Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. You think you're good, but wait till that time comes. I dwell among people of unclean lips. What did he do? He got desperate. And when you get desperate about this thing, something will take place. You're not desperate enough, he said. Oh, well, I joined church. That settles it. But you have to be desperate about it. You have to be to really need God. Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But as long as you're satisfied with the things of the world, how can God ever speak to you? You say, God never spoke to me. He said, why? He wants to, but you're too filled up with the things of the world. That's what's the matter with us today. We put all our time on the things of the world and pleasures of the world and give no time to God. He said, it's true. God help us tonight. You say, I'm going through a trial, Brother Nathan. It seems like I just can't get an answer from God. You probably just haven't got desperate enough yet. Remember the lady there? Brother Branham said, or Jesus said rather, he said there was a wicked judge, an unrighteous judge. But yet the lady pressed him day after day, please have mercy on my son. Please have mercy on my son. Until finally the unjust judge just said, fine, just stop asking. Just leave me alone. I'm sick of hearing it. He said, if he'll do that, if an unjust judge will do that, how much more your heavenly Father, who's really concerned about you? If you have a need, don't say a five-minute prayer and quit asking. You keep seeking him. You keep praying. Say, Lord, if it's not your will, then show me. Show me why. Show me yes, no, or wait a while. I know you'll answer me somehow, but you have to get desperate before he will. Come, let us reason together as the musicians come. Brother Branham said, someone said to me not long ago, said, Brother Branham, I would give anything if I could see a vision. He said, I put my arm around him, a real brother. I said, my beloved brother, every time you open the Bible, you see a vision. God revealing himself. Here is God's vision. Just open it up and say, God, now open my eyes that I can see you. The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here's God. And every time you open the Bible, you see a vision of God speaking forth to you, set with a humble heart. Set with a humble heart and receive what God has to say to you. These aren't just stories. This isn't Walt Disney. This is God's Word to you. These tapes, they aren't just some TV evangelist or just some guy that was making it up as he went along. It's God's voice to you. You want to see a vision? This is packed full of them. You want to see a vision? The tapes are packed full of them from 47 to 65. You go listen to your vision and then find out what your part in the vision is. Find out what your part in the vision is. Say, Lord, I know that I have a part. I don't know what it is. Remember, Brother Branham went to that person's house to pray for their little boy, and he prayed, and he didn't wait for the vision. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, I got ahead of the vision. He had to wait till the lady came in, wiping her glasses, wiping the fog off, and sat in a certain chair, and another man standing over here, and another thing over here. They might not have recognized it, but they had a part in the vision. And God has a vision for his bride. He has a purpose for his bride. And you may not recognize your position in it right now, but you pray and you seek God and you open up these pages and let it become personal to you and ask him to show you your part in the vision. You say, oh, I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on the rapture. I'm waiting on the millennium. I'm waiting on all these things. Most of it is waiting on us. It's waiting on us to get ready. It's waiting on us to get the last one in. We're waiting for them, but they're waiting for us. They're waiting for you to do something. Amen. God help us tonight to recognize that we have something to do. Not just to be enough to say, oh Lord, I thank you for what you've done, but to go into service, to recognize the need, to hear the voice of God, and for it to go out of these doors and say, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I be a blessing to somebody? How can I be a help to somebody? Amen. Are you happy you came to church tonight? Amen. I know. Whenever we come, if you'll come looking for those things, Brother Branham said, whatever you come expecting, you usually get. So if you come to criticize or you come just to sit in fellowship, whatever it is, you'll get what you expect. But you come expecting these things, and by the grace of God, you'll get them. I printed extra copies of this. If you want one tonight, I'll have the deacons set it back there in the back, but you're welcome. If you didn't have a chance to write them down, you want to look back through them or look back through the scripture references for them. Amen. You love the Lord. You love his presence. here we are in your presence. Somebody else is going to think. You just worship it. Oh, here we are. Oh, we're praising Jesus for all the things He's brought us through. Don't you love His presence? And recognize what we should expect, Lord, when we come into your house. What we should expect, Father, when we come into church, Lord. It's not just enough just to sit and say, well, that was a pretty good service, or well, we sure enjoyed that tape, Father. But help us, Lord. Help us to recognize our part in the service, Father. Help us to come in humility. Help us to come ready to worship, ready to experience your presence, ready to see the supernatural, Father, ready to be convicted of our sins, Lord, and concerned about somebody else. Help us, Father, Lord, to recognize the need, to hear your voice, Lord, to go into service, Lord, whatever you'd have us to do. Maybe it's just to pray for somebody. Maybe it's just to kneel and lay hands on them, Father. Maybe it's, Lord, just to go and be an encouragement to somebody, to call them up on the phone and say, I've been thinking about you, brother. I've been thinking about you, sister. Maybe it's to go and try to, Lord, help somebody to, Lord, take a book or a tape to somebody, or to help somebody, encourage them along their way in the scriptures or whatever they're looking at, Father. Lord, there's many needs, Father. I can't do them all. Lord, your prophet said one man can't do it all, Father. But you've got a bride working, Lord, not just in this little building, but around the world, a bride. You said you've got no hands but their hands, no lips but their lips, Father. Oh, but Father, just put us into action. Help us to recognize the needs, Father. Put us into action. Put us into service. Help us not just to sit and say, well, brother so-and-so, that's good for him. But Lord, help us to make it personal to us, Lord, that we recognize our part, Father. Oh, help us to recognize that these things are real, Father. These aren't just words written on a page, but these are the words of Almighty God, given to us, Lord, given to us personally, not just given to a group of people, Father, but help us to recognize the voice of God speaking personally to us, Father. Lord, encouraging us, strengthening us, getting us ready for a rapture, Lord Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord, never to walk through these doors without expecting something from you, Father, without expecting to see the exceedingly abundantly done, without expecting to see the supernatural in our midst, Father. Help us never to doubt you, Father, but help us to recognize if we come expecting the right things, Lord, and if the right atmosphere is provided, that you're able to come every service, Lord, and perform these things over and over and over again. It may not come in the same way, but you'll be there, Father, to perform what we have need of. Oh, Lord, help us not to let it become common to us, but help us, Lord, to come expecting it. Help us this weekend, Lord, for the special services. Help us to come expecting God to do something for lives in every service, Father. Oh, help us, Father. Trim off all the rough edges. Trim off anything evil in our lives. Trim off anything that would be unpleasing. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of unclean lips, Father, but your grace is sufficient, Lord. Take the coal of fire with the tongs off the altar, Lord, tonight, and cleanse our lips, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, cleanse our very soul, Father God, to where all that we do would be pleasing to you, Father. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. There's many that have different needs. There's many that have different struggles, Lord, but just take the coal off the fire tonight, Father. Lord, touch it to our lips, Lord. Change lives, change desires, change circumstances, Father. We know you're here and you're able to do it, Father. In Jesus Christ's name.
Oh, here we are. We're in your presence.
Let's go on, talk.
talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Oh, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil. He don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, God bless you, you're dismissed. Oh, I'm